Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joseph Armacost, how are you today?
Well, from the snowy middle of the eastern seaboard, yeah. I'm doing good, man. Yeah.
Gosh, I'll tell you, I'm so glad to be out of the Northeast. Gosh. Yeah. You know, by the way, for those of you who've been asking me about my stem cell treatment, I'm getting a lot of emails on that. I had my own stem cells taken out of my back. If they take out of little fat pockets in your back and they inject them into your joints. They're asking me, how are you doing? People are saying, I have arthritis. I have this condition. I have that. I'm not your doctor. Obviously, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just telling you about me. It's been going swimmingly. I can't even tell you. I think it is going to basically destroy the orthopedics business in the future. I'm just saying my joints feel amazing. So for those of you been asking, I feel the need to update you because I feel like I know you all personally. All right. I got a lot to talk about today, Joe. And as always, new information coming in left, right, and center about the biggest scandal in U.S. history, which I'm happy to say we have been at the forefront of. And remember what I said to you yesterday during the show, folks. Remember the names. Commit them to memory. For those of you who missed the point I was making yesterday, when I was a brand new federal agent working counterfeit cases, credit card cases, a supervisor of mine who was a very bright guy, real good street cop before he was a federal agent, said, never, ever forget the names. Commit them to memory because you're not going to be able to put puzzle pieces together if you don't recognize the names. You're not going to be able to say, well, there's a name. Let me go back and look through my files. The minute you spot a name, you should be able to say, oh my gosh, there's that guy again. He creeps up in a wiretap. He creeps up on a financial transaction. Well, story came out yesterday. And of course, if you remember the name, you're going to see how it fits into this scandal. And you're going to see how I think we've been proven right. And based on some of the traffic I've been getting from people, I know we are ready to break this thing wide open. All right, today's show brought to you by buddies at iTarget. Thanks for all the feedback on this product. Love this sponsor. I love it because I am an avid Second Amendment supporter and a big advocate of preparedness, and preparedness means self-defense as well. Folks, anybody can fire a firearm. Anyone. It's not complicated. Pull trigger. The question is, can you fire it accurately? Now, dry firing, in other words, just pulling the trigger on an empty weapon, is a very, very effective way. Matter of fact, they used to recommend it highly when I was in the Secret Service. It's a very effective way to perfect your marksmanship because you can do it without having to go to the range. You can do it without having to load ammo to clean your weapon. The range gets expensive. The iTarget Pro system, that's the letter I, by the way, the letter iTarget Pro, and the website is itargetpro.com, will take your dry fire practice sky high to the next level, and you'll be shooting the wings off a fruit fly suit. Here's what it does. You go to itargetpro.com, and they're going to send you a laser bullet, which you drop in the firearm you have now. You don't have to make any manipulations. You don't have to do anything. I have a Glock 43 and 9mm. They send you a 9mm laser bullet. You drop it in the gun, and every time you depress the trigger, it's not going to hurt, damage your gun in any way, shape, or form. The laser bullet shoots a laser onto a target they give you, and you're going to see exactly where your rounds go. You can't do that with regular dry firing. I mean, you just pull the trigger and it goes click, and you know, you just assume where the round went. iTargetPro.com, competitive shooters dry fire 10 times more than they live fire. Folks, people are sending me their targets from a Monday and then again on a Friday, and they're going from groups that look like basketballs to groups that look like golf balls with their shots. Go give it a shot. Go to iTargetPro.com. That's iTargetPro.com. I'll give you a promo code here. Save you some money. Promo code is Dan, my first name. You'll get 10% off iTargetPro.com. Okay. So I said remember the name. So yesterday, I see an article at LifeZet that creeps up, which again will be in the show notes. If you are on my email list, I will email you these articles every day. I call them Dan's News Picks. If not, you can go to my website, Bongino.com, sign up for my email list, or you can just view the articles at Bongino.com. So I see an article at LifeZet, and because I'm familiar with the names, Joe, and I've asked all of you to be familiar with the names as well, yes. I see a story that creeps up. And the story is about some suspicious financial dealings between the Australian government and the Clinton Foundation. Now, the article is written by Mark Tapscott, who I've met before, and it's against that LifeZet, Laura Ingraham's site. And let me read to you, before I read to you from the piece, let me set up where we're going with this, okay? Remember again, remember the names. The entire premise of what we're trying to prove, the most consequential scandal in modern political history. The entire premise we're trying to prove is Obama team spied on Trump.
Right.
This was an entrapment operation, a sting operation. And the Obama team knew about, or in some ways facilitating, all of these people going to Trump. Look, we got information on the Clintons. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. This was a sting op the entire time. Mm. Now, to do it, you have to have people approaching the Trump team, right, Joe? We've said this over and over. I gave you some names of people who have contacts, who have contacted both sides. Again, they may be dupes. I'm not suggesting that the people approaching the Trump team even know who they're working for.
Right.
I'm just telling you they approached the Trump team. Sergey Milian, Emin Agalarov and his dad, Downer, the Australian government. Now, remember that third name. Joe, I know you know it. You've heard it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Alexander Downer, Ministry of Foreign Affairs for the Australian government. Why is this name important? Well, again, if you've listened to the shows, you know. If you don't, I'll give you the Reader's Digest synopsis right now. The New York Times' own reporting on the matter, because the open question here is, why was the Obama team spying on the Trump team? Everybody's scrambling to give a reason, although no one can explain what the Trump team did to warrant being spied on. Nobody can explain it, Joe. There's no predicate crime. If the federal government was outside Joe Armacost's house spying on him, you'd think there'd be a reason why.
Yeah.
Nobody can produce a reason why. The story's changed 1,000 times because of Carter Page, because of George Papadopoulos, because of Steele and the dossier. Nobody has a reason, and nobody's produced a crime. One of the reasons the New York Times reporting, which they've changed on, by the way, the New York Times initially said it was Carter Page's trip to Moscow, who had was an advisor for the Trump campaign. That started the whole thing, Joe.
Ooh.
That did it, Carter Page's trip. The New York Times changed its own reporting and now says, no. It was right, Joe's laughing. It was George Papadopoulos' meeting with Alexander Downer in a London bar, who Alexander Downer, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for Australia. It's that meeting that set the whole thing off. Again, all of these people somehow interacting with the Trump team and having some connection to either Obama, Fusion GPS that's working with the Clintons, or another wrinkle we're going to add in a minute, the State Department itself. Now, so I see this article yesterday. Now that you've got the background of this, okay?
All right.
I see this piece yesterday and ding, 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 ding. Remember the names. Here's from the piece in LifeSet, Mark Tapscott. Please read it at my website. It's by the way, the guy Smith they're referring to is an investigative reporter in Australia, just so you know.
Okay.
Quote from the piece. At the center of Smith's complaints, our former President Bill Clinton, former Secretary of State, and 2016 Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, and multiple Australian government officials, including senior diplomat Alexander Downer, that governor's high commissioner to the United Kingdom.
Huh.
Now, okay, great. What's the complaint?
Uh-huh.
The complaint, and this is from this investigative reporter who Tapscott's reporting on his report in LifeSet. And you can read the piece yourself. It's not long. It's a matter of fact, it's super short. It's like 400 words. The complaint is that there were some financial dealings between the Australian government and the Clinton Foundation involving money that changed hands to the Clinton Foundation under some false pretense, Joe. Backdating of invoices and things like that, other items, things that basically money changing hands. And you can read it. It's not particularly complicated, about an AIDS initiative. The bottom line is this, that there has been some reporting about money going from the Australian government to the Clinton Foundation that was done under false pretenses. And somehow Downer was implicated in this.
Okay.
Again, setting up the connection over and over that I've said to people, and I had to underline this again. People who are approaching the Trump team, right?
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times, ladies and gentlemen, I'm only quoting the New York Times. So all of the nutbag liberals who listen to my show, and I know conspiracy theory. Really? The New York Times are conspiracy theorists? I'm only telling you what the New York Times said, that the Alexander Downer meeting, Joe, that was random, and I'm doing the dreaded air quotes here, with Papadopoulos in a London bar, which, by the way, Downer, the government's high commissioner to the United Kingdom, that the New York Times own reporting says that's what set off this whole Trump-Russia investigation.
Right.
All of a sudden, Downer now has had some dealings with Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and is involved with some money changing hands that may have changed hands under some false pretense. I'm just covering the reporting. Joe, on a serious note.
Yeah.
Now do you see why that was the best advice I ever got as a federal agent to remember the names?
Yeah. I
mean, because if you don't commit,
at you.
Yeah, they keep coming at you. But if you don't commit them to memory, this stuff slips by you. And you'll read a report and be like, okay, so what? So there's a guy in Australia who has apparently been accused of some kind of misdeeds with the Clinton Foundation and money. What does that have to do with anything? Oh, that's the same guy who shows up in a bar in London and meets with Papadopoulos that the New York Times is saying initiates the most consequential counterintelligence spying investigation in U.S. history. Oh, wow. How'd that happen? That's just crazy. Remember what I told you the other day. Order matters. Joe lives in a gated community where no one can just come and go, right? Mm-hmm. And Joe's house is burglarized, and then the cops show up. Joe, gated community, house burglarized, cops show up. If you mix those three around, even though all three happen and the order is wrong, you mm-hmm. have a problem. If Joe lives in the gated community, cops show up to his house when he's not home, and his house is then burglarized after that, we've got a problem there. All of a sudden, you're like, wait, the cops had something to do with this? The order matters. Why am I bringing this up? Because who contacts who first? Folks, this is the takeaway from this. Remember, we're trying to prove the Obama team beyond a reasonable doubt, that is. You never prove anything. You prove beyond a reasonable doubt, at least in a criminal case. We're trying to prove that the Obama team illicitly spied on the Trump team. I'm giving you a series of facts reported by the own media, unless they're willing to run away from it and discount their own reporting, which they haven't done yet. The order matters. Did Downer meet with Papadopoulos in this London bar? Remember, Papadopoulos is a low-level Trump surrogate. And get this information about Russian emails from Papadopoulos? Or was Downer put up to it by someone? Then Downer meets in the bar with the Papadopoulos and then reports back. The order matters. And what I mean by orders, who contacts who first, Joe?
Yeah.
You follow, you look at you tracking me?
I'm tracking you well, yeah.
Because now that I can see you pretty well, you look like you're giving me a puzzled face. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, you're just interested.
Right. Yeah.
Because Joe's giving me that Tucker Carlson. I love that look when he tilts his head to the side. No, it's good. Order matters.
Yeah.
Does Downer contact American Intel first and it's just he's genuinely suspicious, Joe? Or does someone contact Downer first? Downer then contacts Papadopoulos in what I believe to be a setup or a sting the entire time. That's the question here, okay? That's what we're getting at. This is critical stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to read something for you yesterday as well. I covered this yesterday, but I want to read it again because I'm about to, because remember, folks, keep in mind the question we're focused on now. To prove the Obama team beyond a reasonable doubt spied on the Trump team, I have to show you the elements of my assertion that this was a setup, an entrapment operation, a sting operation happened. To show you that, I have to show you people approached the Trump team, not on their own. Not on their own, but at the urging of others who wanted to entrap people on the Trump team. You following, Joe?
Yep, right along.
The people who hit up Papadopoulos, the people who come into contact with Carter Page, it's not random. This is happening to entrap the Trump team. And keep in mind, I'm not suggesting the people that approach them are in on the scam.
Right.
I can pay a guy on the street, Joe, $1,000 who has no idea who you are to knock on your door tomorrow and go, hey, I heard you're one of those George Clooney Ocean's 11 guy. You want to go rob a bank? Joe has no idea who this guy is. The guy has no idea who Joe is.
Right,
all he knows is somebody approached the guy in the street and gave him $1,000 to go approach Joe about robbing a bank. The question is, who's the dude who gave him $1,000 to approach Joe? That's the question. That's the connection. Who told Downer, if anyone, to go meet with Papadopoulos? If anyone. We've already established now a relationship between Downer and Clinton, okay, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's move on to another point here. Yesterday, I read this, and I'm going to read it again. This is a piece from the Wall Street Journal yesterday about the State Department and the Iran deal, because this is important, folks. Sergey Lavrov, the Russian minister of propaganda here. Mm-hmm. Sergey Lavrov, Mrs. John Kerry, the Russian foreign minister, negotiated the Iran deal with the former U.S. Secretary of State. But on Monday, Vladimir Putin's foreign policy frontman used his annual press conference to berate the U.S. and all but declare that America must leave that country to Russia and Iran. Why am I bringing that up again and reading it again yesterday? Because if you understand that this was all a smokescreen, all of it, to give curry Russian favor in order to get the Iran deal through, all of this makes sense because the figures I'm giving you all have some relationship to uranium and the Russians' desire to control uranium and needing the United States to cede that interest to them in order to get their support on the Iran deal.
Right.
Downer being involved in a lot of these uranium deals between the Australians and the Chinese, the Australians and the Russians. Now, question I got yesterday, Joe, which I haven't answered adequately, and forgive me, folks, because I wrongly assumed a lot of people understood it, but that's my fault. It's not yours. This is what we do in the show. Question I got was, okay, Dan, but you've never actually explained why the Obama team wanted the Iran deal so badly that they were willing to basically cede our nuclear fuel to the Russians, placate the Russians, and allow them to control the world's uranium market. You never said that. Folks, there's a lot of theories on this, and I want to say I want to be open and honest. I'm speculating here, but I'm speculating based on things I've heard and things I know and some research I've done. But I owe you an answer. I can't just leave these things out there. The Obama administration needed to rebalance power in the Middle East. The Obama administration, I think, sensed the turning of the tide, and I don't believe that the Obama administration was a big fan of Israel. That is not a mystery to anyone. He had, at best, an icy relationship with Netanyahu. The Obama administration, for reasons, I shouldn't say beyond the scope of this, because that's why you're here. The Obama administration was seated with post-John F. Kennedy Democrats. What I mean is super liberals. Liberals who cannot stand the idea of representative democracy and free markets. Who is the only representative democracy in the Middle East right now? Israel.
Right.
You may say, oh, come on, Dan. Are you telling me he was using Alinsky-like tactics to attack Israel solely because they're a representative democracy in the Middle East? Yes. And if you read David Horowitz's book, Unholy Alliance, which is must reading, I mean, absolutely a must read for anybody interested in the connection between liberals and radical Islamists. Read Unholy Alliance by Horowitz, where he shows how these two perverse ideologies, far left, not Democrats, but far left radical liberals and Antifa types, how they have everything in common with radical Islamists. Centralized state control, one using Joe, one bowing at the altar of government, one bowing at the power of religion. Yeah. Either way, it's almost monarchical.
I made bad choices.
A ton of them. You're darn right you did. Helps a lot, doesn't it? Joke, private joke. Do you understand how this the whole premise of Horowitz's book on Holy Alliance is that radical Islamism and its devotion to a tyrannical top-down form of governing is no different than, again, not Democrats, but extreme liberals. They worship the same style, Joe, just a different God. One worships top-down power through government, the other through religion. Mm-hmm. But the alliance is there. The Obama administration is seated with people who understand that there is a symbiotic relationship there, and they need to rebalance power in the Middle East away from Israel, which is developing relationships with Jordan and the Saudis. They need to develop and empower the Shias in Iran. The Iran deal is a polluted, disgusting deal from the start, I think meant to rebalance power away from Israel because it's a representative democracy and represents everything far leftist hate. You may question my judgment on that. I think you're wrong.
That's not hard for me to swallow.
No, it's not. No. And I've spoken to you about this on the show and off the show, the Obama administration's commitment to basically the opposite of subsidiarity. Subsidiarity being local control. Obama and their team seeking global control because you can't escape it then. And I don't mean that in a conspiratorial way. I just mean power that's centralized because you can't get rid of it. Local power, you can leave. You can move. Centralized power, you can't. This was all a smokescreen to get that through. And they needed the Russians on board. Now, that was a lot, folks. I'm sorry. But now, let me jump to my... So the first point, again, just to redial... And forgive me, I'm not... For that one lady who emailed me, I'm not talking down to the audience. I'm trying to put these pieces together for you systematically and methodically so that when the show is over, it makes sense and you're not lost in information we said 15 minutes ago. Premise, overarching premise of the entire series of shows we've been doing. Obama spied on Trump. To prove Obama spied on Trump, we have to prove, or the Obama administration, it wasn't just Obama. We have to prove there was some kind of an operation going on. To prove that operation, the fact that I believe they were trying to entrap the Trump team, you have to have entrappers, people who are going there to approach the Trump team. We have the names. I'm not saying they knew anything. It doesn't matter. All that matters is who put them up to it. I gave you the names. One of the names that keeps coming up is Downer. Remember the names. Downer's involved in uranium deals. Downer's now involved with the Clinton Foundation. Downer's involved with Papadopoulos. Making the connection? Now, I said to you at the beginning of the show, I was going to make a connection between the State Department, too. This is very troubling. I'm basing this on reporting by Byron York, a well-respected reporter. Again, I will put this article, it's short, it's sweet, it's readable, at the show notes. Please, please, please sign up for my email list. It helps me get the information out. Or go to Bongino.com again and read it. I'm sorry to keep mentioning it, but if you don't read the articles, I don't have enough time every day to cover the minute detail you're missing in each one. I give you the 30,000-foot view.
Right.
York explains in the piece, Joe, that maybe, just maybe, the Christopher Steele relationship was not just with the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the FBI, but was with the State Department as well. Now, let me dial that back. You may say, okay, where are we going? Now I'm a little confused.
Right, yeah.
Christopher Steele is the former MI6 British intelligence agent that is working for Fusion GPS, hired by the Clinton campaign to gather dirt on Trump. The dirt Fusion GPS they get through Steele, who conveniently, Joe, is a Russia expert. Now, the running theory I've been operating on is Steele gives information to Fusion. Fusion gives information to the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Somehow that information makes it into the White House. So you have now politics interacting with law enforcement and intelligence. The president's the head of the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
And that political information is used to initiate the sting and the entrapment operation on Trump.
Okay.
But this is what's even more fascinating. This is why I read you the Kerry thing about the Iran deal. John Kerry's the Secretary of State. When all of this is going on, the entrapment operation, the spying operation on Trump, Kerry's in charge of the State Department. I just read to you that piece again from the Wall Street Journal. You can rewind the tape and listen to it again, where Kerry's working with the Russians on the Iran deal and the Russians miss him. They want him back. Huh, strange how that happens. Now we find out by Byron York's reporting, Joe, that Steele had a pre-existing relationship. And to be fair, York's quoting another author of a book, and it's in the piece. You can see it yourself.
Right.
Steele already had a pre-existing relationship with people within embeds in the State Department as well. People working, the deep state bureaucrats in the State Department, on a case he worked with FIFA, the international soccer jurisdiction, on a corruption scheme. Now, you see how this web of connections. So the question here again, order matters. Order matters. Who contacts who? We know now Steele has connections to the State Department. We know he's dealing with Hillary, who was the Secretary of State, obviously in charge of the State Department. The question now with Steele is Fusion GPS and Steele contacted by the Clinton campaign to get dirt on them? Or do State Department people make the connection between Steele and the FBI? Because now you have a whole different ballgame. Huh. If the law enforcement gun-carrying entities that have a monopoly on force, the federal government, right? We don't have private police forces. If the power of the federal government and the FBI is unleashed because bureaucrats in the State Department have a pre-existing connection to a spy working on political information on Trump, if they make the connection, in other words, Joe, they go to the FBI, hey, you need to check this guy out here. He's got some stuff. Now we've got another layer of the scandal that is absolutely mind-blowing. Order matters. Who contacted who first? Who contacted who first? Sorry, I don't mean to be. I'm Joe can see. I have so many notes. I don't want to miss anything. Now we know Steele has, at a minimum, pre-existing contacts with the State Department as well. The State Department, folks, not a law enforcement entity. These are international diplomats outside of DSS, the protection agents over there. This is not a law enforcement entity. This is an international foreign policy, political U.S. advocacy organization that works for the government. Did they contact Steele? Did Steele contact them? Was Steele relaying information to the FBI and the bureaucrats at State at the same time? Or was State, through John Kerry, their desire to get the Iran deal pushed through, were they working with Steele and in turn the FBI, again, to dirty up the Trump team, knowing if Trump won, they would squash the Iran deal and expose the Uranium One scandal? Whoa. Now, why am I still talking about this? Oh, here's Jeff Flake. Look at this guy. What a toolbox. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, he's on Fox. Senator Flake slams president from the Senate floor. Let me tell you something about this turd. My wife hates when I say that, but you know what? And it's a stupid word. But if there was ever a turd in the Senate, it's Jeff Flake. I ran in the same Senate cycle as this loser. Mm-hmm. This guy took money from every conservative group out there and backstabbed every single one. This guy's a disgrace, slams President Trump. What a zero. All right. The reason I'm bringing this up again today is Sean Hannity has been all over this. Believe me, he has impeccable sourcing on this and knows a lot of stuff. Him and Sarah Carter and other people out there have been digging into this story. Hannity reported last night, and I believe him because I've heard the same thing from a very similar source, that, Joe, these documents are going to be declassified soon. Excuse me. I'm really excited about today's show. Declassified. The documents to get the FISA warrant, a lot of investigative information the FBI took notes on interviews with. This is going to be declassified. And according to Hannity's source, what did he say? That it is going to absolutely like blow American minds wide open. It is going to rip people's confidence in government to shreds. I believe it. I believe the information that's going to come out soon is going to absolutely be what I'm telling you, that the Obama team was using political information relayed from Steele and Fusion, who had contacts in the State Department and the Bureau, through other cases they'd work with them. The Obama team was using political, not law enforcement information, unverified political information from a friendly Hillary Clinton, a friendly to them, to spy and use the powers of government to spy on their political opponent to cover up their deal, their desire for an Iran deal and their complicity with the Russians in it. Wow. We'll see. We'll see. Is justice a coming? I don't know, but I can tell you right now, the truth is, and it ain't going to be pretty. You imbecile liberals wanted to spin up a Trump by Russia fairy tale in the hopes you would have him impeached by now. And now he's not impeached. And you're like, holy, now we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. Now it's all coming out. What do we say now? I don't know. Obama was supposed to be such a good guy. Insane. Okay. One small correction on yesterday's show, and it's not for me. Folks, when we have to correct something, we correct it. I mean, Joe and I have done it repeatedly.
Yeah.
But I got no less than 100 emails yesterday from people with experience in ham radio operation. Telling me, Dan, you don't need a ham radio license to receive information. So, I know. Maybe forgive me, because I have to go back and listen to how I may have phrased it wrong. So I don't want to, I love my audience. I appreciate the feedback. Don't get me wrong. Email me anytime. Don't take this the wrong way. I can't stand hosts that insult their own audiences. I'm here because of you all. But I knew that. What I was trying to get at, I may have phrased wrong. One of the things I brought up yesterday is I got a tip from someone, very well-connected someone, who said that Nellie Orr, who is the wife of Bruce Orr, who is working for Fusion GPS on the dossier because of her expertise in Russia. Remember, Bruce Orr is a high-ranking DOJ official working Project Cassandra that would implicate the Iranians in a gun-running Hezbollah scandal. By the way, a gun-running scandal that gets squashed by the Obama team, according to Politico reporting. They're married. Nellie Orr applies for a ham radio license right around the time this is going on. And I said that one of the tips I'd gotten was maybe it's not just the transmission of data, but she's receiving data. And the question is, from who? I understand that. Of course, anybody can buy a ham radio and listen. Mm-hmm. And this is probably, again, is my fault. But I'm not saying she wasn't transmitting. You get what I'm saying, Joe? To transmit, you need the license. I'm not saying she wasn't. She may have needed the license to transmit, too. I'm just saying what the guy was saying to me, and I phrased it wrong, is you're focusing on the transmissions. In other words, Nellie was passing information possibly to someone else out there, but that's not what you should be focused on. What the guy said to me is focus on what she may have been receiving, not the license. I that's where I think we got crossed up. I get it. I understand that totally. Now, I brought up in a show, I don't know, 3-4 shows ago, covering this series of topics on the Trump-Russia fiasco, the spying scandal, that the tradecraft here, based on another source, a different source, has been awful. Because some of you may fairly say, and this is the point I was trying to make before I got sidetracked, I wanted to pull something up there, is, well, come on, Nellie Orr, Joe, can't be that stupid to apply for a ham radio license to share classified information. Uh-huh. We don't know what she shared. Yeah. But you suggesting somehow that anyone involved in this case, quote, couldn't be that dumb is insane. Remember the show we did about tradecraft? How we had another source, a law enforcement source who had been involved in this kind of stuff, let's just say. By the way, a really good source. And the source says to me in a letter, don't give these people any credit for being like they're Inspector Gadgets. They're not 007s. Remember the show, Joe?
Yeah, I do.
Peter Stroke, right? The FBI agent who's involved in the Clinton email investigation, who also interviews Mike Flynn, who's involved in the Trump-Russia fairy tale. This guy is an upper-level counterintelligence guy in the FBI and is exchanging on open text information about how him and his paramour, his love interest, his mistress there, how much they hate Trump and how they're going to get an insurance policy. Folks, I mean, seriously? You're going to ask, like, why would she get a ham radio license to transmit information? Why would Peter Stroke, who's been involved in the FBI forever, exchange open intel on a text he knew could be taken? Let me add to this. Why would Jim Comey agree to knowingly change an exoneration speech on Hillary Clinton away from legal language to less official legal language, knowing there was going to be documented? Can I make a suggestion, Joe?
Sure.
This is very scientific, folks, so get ready. Maybe these people were just dopes. Maybe they were just dopes. What's your explanation? Just to be clear, I'm talking about tradecraft here, you're absolutely right about the emails, and I should have been clearer. But don't assume that the Orrs... Let me make this even worse. Don't even assume, Joe, that Nellie Orr understood she needed a radio ham radio license to only receive, or didn't need it. I should say. You get where I'm going with this? You guys are assuming way too much. You have the Obama administration. You want to talk about crappy tradecraft? You have the Obama administration leaving a massive paper trail about the most consequential and devastating and disturbing spying operation in U.S. history on the Trump team. And you're seriously like, man, this lady should have known better to get a ham radio license to transmit information. One guy sent me an email. Thank you for the email. I genuinely mean this. But he goes, Dan, there are better ways to do that. I know. I totally get it. There are also better ways to take down the Trump team through devious means than texting your mistress over an FBI phone. Seriously, folks. There are better ways to exonerate, air quotes, Hillary Clinton than actually changing the wordage, the legalese, like, away from the actual statute to less legal language. I get it. The point of the letter to me from the source, Joe, from the person who had done this about tradecraft, was don't give these people that much credit. Because one of the outs could be, oh my gosh, you know, these people were just, you know, so dopey and they just got suckered into this. This is what, some of them were dopey. But the overall scheme was hatched based on, I think, a hubris and an arrogance that they just thought they would never get caught.
Yep.
But don't confuse the dopey stuff, tradecraft, with the arrogance portion. Because then you get suckered too, like I think some people are right now. Some people are falling into this trap, like, oh, Hillary Clinton was suckered by Fusion GPS too. Oh, no. I just showed you all of these relationship and connections they already had with people who were approaching the Trump team through Fusion GPS. But there are genuine examples here of just pure stupidity, and I think this ham radio thing was one of them. In addition to the Stroke text, Peter Stroke and his girlfriend, in addition to the Obama team in general, getting information from the British on this. This is all just dumb. It was all going to come out. So it's a mixture, and Joe, this is a dangerous mixture, of arrogance, pride, hubris, and just plain stupid. So I get it. I absolutely appreciate the emails, but I totally get it. Okay, I got some other stuff to get to because this is important. But today's show also brought to you by our buddies at FilterBuy. Thank you to everyone who supports our sponsors. FilterBuy loves us here. We love them too. Holidays are over, folks. We got a new year, but the winter's just begun. And according to studies, air indoors, which I am with Joe all the time indoors, contains up to 100 times more pollution than the air outside. That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
This can cause illness, allergy. Joe's like, yeah, it is. I can see it. This could cause illness, allergies, and unnecessary wear and tear in your HVAC system. I had to replace both of mine, by the way, because of this, leading to costly repairs or even worse, the premature replacement of the entire system. These things are expensive, especially down here in Florida. Resolve to breathe better with FilterBuy, America's leading provider of HVAC filters for homes and small businesses. You got a business, you got a house, you need 100 filters, you need one filter. These are your guys for air filter, FilterBuy, and ladies. They carry over 600 different filter sizes, including custom options, all shipped free within 24 hours. Plus, they're manufactured right here in America. Nice job, FilterBuy. We love that. Employing Americans. FilterBuy offers a multitude of MERV options all the way up to hospital grade. So you'll be removing dangerous pollen, mold, dust, and other allergy aggravating pollution while maximizing the efficiency of your expensive system. You pay a lot of money for these things. Keep them running nice. Right now, you could save 5% when you set up auto delivery and you'll never have to think about air filters again. Save money, save time, breathe better with our buddies at FilterBuy.com. That's FilterBuy.com. FilterBuy.com. Thank you to everyone who supports our sponsors. And people have asked me, you know, how do they know that I found you for the Bongino show? Oh, trust me. Based on the support you've given my sponsors, they know. Don't you worry. FilterBuy.com. Right, Joe?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Trust me, they know. We do a read and sales go crazy. So you guys are awesome and ladies out there. We appreciate it. But that's a great question. I appreciate you all doing that. All right, story number two. This is more a personal one today, and I wanted to cover this because I know the players involved in this, you know, intimately, and it's really sad what's going on. I mean, we know about the attacks on Trump. I would make the case to you, Joe, that no president in American history has undergone the onslaught of negativity this president and questionably legal behavior that this president's gone through.
I'd agree.
Under attack by a special counsel for something that never happened, under attack by a media relentlessly committed to fake news and lying about this president, under attack by a Democrat Party committed to obstructing anything this guy does, under attack by swamp rat Republicans who lie about this guy, like this clown face zero Jeff Flake on the Senate floor, who's not committed to attacking liberalism and the destruction of America, but finds our president to be a convenient target. But yesterday's press avail briefing at the White House press room with Dr. Ronny Jackson was the absolute most disgusting, horrifying moment, I think, in modern U.S. media history. Now, there are crazy Looney Tunes media types have put out there this silly, ridiculous trial balloon, Joe, that Trump is mentally incapacitated. Man. Why? Folks, everything has a reason, because they are seeking the 25th Amendment. They're seeking to use it. They realize now impeachment is probably not likely. And I told you why. Given the passing of the tax cuts and the exploding economy, they're starting to see impeachment go away. Remember, impeachment's not about crimes. You'd be like, oh, Dan, it says that in the Constitution, high crimes and misdemeanors. Yes, that's total garbage, okay? Everybody's committed a crime at some point in their life. Trust me. If the Democrats want to find a crime on Trump or anyone else, they'll get him for ripping a mattress tag off. Mm-hmm. Impeachment is a political process. I don't care what the Constitution says. It always has been. The political prospects of impeachment have gone down the drain. At least for now. The Democrats now moved on to the 25th Amendment of the Constitution, which allows the cabinet, in conjunction with the vice president, the majority of the cabinet, to basically remove a president's power if he is deemed mentally or physically incapacitated. Mm-hmm. This was never meant to be used as a tool for armchair imbecile psychologists and psychiatrists on cable news networks who don't like the president's politics to go out there and say the president's incapacitated. In response, the president, who basically, Joe, always touches the press and makes them look like the complete idiots they are, the president undergoes a routine medical examination, but he tells Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who is his doctor, and I'll tell you the personal connection here in a minute, in a genius move, Joe, he says, hey, Ron, go out there and do the presser today. And by the way, stay out there all day and answer every question. Does Trump have toenail fungus? Has Trump ever had a hangnail? Does he have clogged ears? Does Trump dye his hair? Is Trump have early onset Alzheimer's? Has he taken an aspirin? Has Trump ever taken ibuprofen? Has Trump ever taken too much ibuprofen? Does he have indigestion? Has Trump had diarrhea? Does Trump have athlete's foot? Does Trump have gout? Does Trump eat McDonald's? What's his cholesterol? Does he get extra large fries? Does Trump supersize his meal? When he goes to Five Guys, does he get a double? Does he put bacon on that? Has Trump checked his HDL? Has he checked his LDL? Does Trump work out? What does he do? Does he do Tabata sprints? It was the, you know, I see Joe laughing, which he, or I only, Joe only laughs when he thinks I'm funny because, or I could watch him now, right? It was the dumbest press conference I have ever heard in my, and it was a brilliant, again, four-dimensional chess move by Trump. Sit out there all day knowing these jackals in the media. One, they'll ask questions all day. Why, Joe?
Yeah.
Because they want to stay on TV. They know it's being broadcast all over the country. Media jackals love seeing their faces on TV. So what does he do? He says, Ronnie, stay out there all day. Because once, granted, there are fair enough questions. Some questions like, is the president healthy? He's the president. It's a fair question, right, Joe?
Yeah.
You know, is the president, I mean, I get it. I'm not trying to diminish. But the genius of it, follow me, folks. The genius of the Trump team here was telling Dr. Jackson, stay out there and answer everything, knowing media jackals want to stay on TV. And after you get past the serious questions, Joe, of course, to stay on TV, they're just thinking, okay, what do I ask next? Does the president wear Ray-Bans? Does he wear Oakleys? What's the UV level of them? Are his eyes okay? Has he ever had a cataract? Has he ever had half a cataract? Has someone ever thought about a cataract? Has he know what a cataract is? Did he study cataracts? Now what happens, Joe? An hour into this thing, the whole country's watching this in genuine horror. Like, my gosh, are these the dumbest people on the planet? This is embarrassing. The questions were horrifying, okay? And Hannity had a good bit on his show last night about it. Now, I bring it up. No, first takeaway from what I'm telling you, I like to sum things up, is it was a genius political move by the POTUS, by Trump. Genius. It was a genius move because he exposed the media for their ridiculous jackal-like behavior and made them look like the narcissists they are. But the second genius move is sending Ronnie out there, and I'll tell you why. I know Dr. Jackson personally very well. Matter of fact, let me set it up first, because or else it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, and I'm not a name dropper at all. I hate that. Matter of fact, I hate when other people do it, but it's important to the story. It means something here. Dr. Jackson is a more than credible, unbelievable patriot and an American public servant of the highest order. I believe he's a rear admiral. Ronny Jackson is respected by the Obamas. He is respected by the Bushes. He is respected by the Trumps. And he has been a White House doctor in what we call WAMU, White House Medical Unit. He has been a White House doctor for a very long time in both Republican and Democrat administrations. And although I strongly object to the Obama administration and all their acolytes, I have to give credit to Dan Pfeiffer and some of these other Obama people, who I'm not friendly with at all, for tweeting out yesterday, Dr. Ronny Jackson is a good man. Mm. Why am I bringing any of this up? Because unbelievably, showing you the mental illness on the left, Joe, unbelievably, liberals start going after Dr. Jackson. He's lying. He's lying about Trump's not healthy because, folks, they need the 25th Amendment. They need Trump unhealthy because that's the only way to get rid of him. So they start attacking Dr. Ronny Jackson's character. Even the Obama people are going, are you nuts? This guy's the best. Folks, now the personal story. I worked with this guy. He is beloved in the Secret Service. Beloved by the staff of Democrat and Republican administrations. Beloved by WAMO and the White House Medical Office. The White House Military Office, the White House Medical Unit. Let me tell you a quickie about Ronny Jackson. We were over in Jordan. I was doing a transportation security advance for Laura Bush, and we were headed out to Petra. It was a complicated visit. You know, don't worry about the details. They're irrelevant. But it was a really complicated security op, even though it was the first lady on it, because of the threat level and the Jordanians were very helpful and everything. But Ronnie was on that trip with me, and Ronnie and I know each other very well. Matter of fact, I saw him at Mar-a-Lago on Saturday. He's, Dan! I told my wife, I'm like, this is Dr. Ronny. Like, this guy is such a good guy. You know, it really upsets me, man. I'm choked up about it. But that we can't even have we have to attack people personally. You have this military officer, this guy who could go make millions of dollars, Joe, as an ER physician anywhere in the country. He stays in the military for years to keep both Democrat and Republican presidents healthy and alive. He's beloved by everybody around him. And we liberals have to savagely and beastly, in the most disgusting way possible, attack this guy personally as if he was lying about a medical evaluation he gave to the president of the United States only because it's Trump. This is insane. Ronnie helped me. I didn't even finish the story. I'm sorry. I'm so upset by this story. We're in the security room, and I wanted to go to medical school at the time. Mm-hmm. Desperately. I'd been taking the MCATs. And remember, I'm a Secret Service agent. And I was just committed to becoming a doctor. And Ronnie, I'm not even going to tell you what he did. But he went out of his way to connect me with anybody and their mother who could help me out at that advanced stage of my life, walk me through the complicated medical school process. It was absolutely zero in it for him. Nothing. This is a busy guy, by the way. He spent more time emailing me to, here's what you need to do. I mean, I was blown away. And this is just who Ronnie is. And what do? They attack him personally because this is what liberals are. Not Democrats. I get it. The far left are sick, troubled, disturbed people, folks. Now, one final point on this. I had a whole bunch else, but this story really got my goat, folks. One of the premises that, or one of the points, I should say, be more precise here, is Ronnie said Donald Trump weighs 239 pounds and is 6'3". Donald Trump does weigh 239 pounds and is 6'3". I'm telling you, Dr. Jackson's not going to lie about anything.
All right.
He's an honorable man.
Yeah.
The dopey liberals, who are, most of them are pajama boys and pajama ladies who don't work out themselves, who are soft. These aren't hard rocks.
Right.
These aren't people who have worked out a day in their lives. These are people who generally look like Bernie Sanders. People who've never lifted a weight, run a sprint, thrown a kettlebell, or been on a mat in a jiu-jitsu class or a boxing class in their entire lives. Of course, they would then start posting pictures, which is what liberals were doing, trying to prove Ronnie Jackson's lying, Joe, of other people who are 6'2", weigh 239 pounds, who are muscular and ripped in the NFL, and saying, really? Donald Trump, 239 pounds? Because I think Donald Trump would admit himself. He's got a, you know, he's not, yeah. But and he's not fat, but he's, you know, he's got a 70-year-old, little bit of a belly on him, like most people get when they get old. He's a big guy.
Yeah,
he's what we would call when we were kids. Joe, remember Husky?
Yeah, Husky.
You were Husky. You were a Husky guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Trump would deny that, nor Ronnie Jackson. Why am I bringing this up, though? Because liberals are such pajama boys and are so soft that they've never been in the gym, and they don't understand that muscle is denser than fat. Folks, I am 6'1", 225 pounds. Joe, look at that.
That's
my 17-inch right arm right there, okay?
Good, bro. Yeah.
My friend, let's say, friend of mine up in New York, is about 5'10". And he's about 200. He's shaped the same way as Trump. This guy doesn't work out. He's a good guy. I know him very well. I'm leave the relationship out because I don't want him to get mad. But he knows he's a husky fella. Yeah. He works manual labor, so it, you know, but he's not a weightlifter by any means. He's about 5'10". He's only 200 pounds. Folks, muscle is denser than fat. Posting a picture of a ripped NFL lineman at 239 pounds and Donald Trump shows how stupid you are, not Ronnie Jackson. Let me give you a quick example here about why this matters. And it goes to show how dumb you are by posting this. Joe.
Yes.
Because they're mistaking mass, the mass of a body, for the weight of a body without taking into account density. Here's an analogy to make this make sense. And Joe, keep in mind, I'm not unaware of the fact that having this conversation with our intelligence audience is dumbing us down by 20 IQ points, but liberals are so dumb, we have to get into things like density and mass because this is how stupid they are, okay?
All right.
Joe, if I give you a two pillowcases of the exact same size.
Yeah.
And I fill one with feathers.
Yes.
And I fill one with marbles.
Yes.
What do you think is going to be heavier? It's the exact same pillowcase size. What's going to be heavier?
I'd have to say the sack of marbles, Dan.
Oh, this guy's Joe has been on a roll. Now, Joe, just to be clear, you don't have a doctor of philosophy in physics. You are not a PhD in physics, correct?
That's correct, Dan.
And you have never been in the marble or feather industry, so you have no idea what the actual chemical composition of these items are.
Neither one of them, Dan.
But common sense would tell you that size, the pillowcase, right? Same size.
Yeah.
Does not equal weight because density matters and the marbles are more dense than the feathers, right?
Density matters, Dan.
Okay, Joe. See, liberals don't get this. So what they do is they equate the size of Donald Trump and they show you a ripped NFL athlete with the weight of Donald Trump because they're so dumb, they don't understand that Donald Trump basically has a few more feathers in the belly than the other guy who has a six-pack of marbles. You dumb numbskulls. My gosh, are you the stupidest people on the planet? Will you please stop humiliating yourself? Abdominals full of marbles, abdominals full of feathers. Marbles, feathers, marbles, feathers. Are you? Do me a favor, because this is the last story of the day for the show. For you liberals listening to my show, go Google today, is muscle denser than fat? And do yourself a little physiological homework assignment, and you will see how stupid you are discrediting yourself on Twitter yesterday. You monstrous idiots. And I'm sorry, I know folks don't like the rant stuff, but this is like, and I mean it. I can't, this is so infuriating. First attacking a man of deep character like Ronnie Jackson, and then posting on Twitter and advertising your own stupidity about the physiological density differences between muscle and fat, and assuming that Ronnie Jackson is lying because you don't know there's a difference between the two is unbelievably stupid. If there is a totem pole of stupidity, you are the chief at the top. I'll see you all tomorrow.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. Get more of Dan online anytime at conservativereview.com. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud. And follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.